Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all of those who are mothers here today. It's good to have you here as you come to church to worship today. Send a special welcome to those who are visiting today. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to send us a welcome and an invitation to all to stay for just a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just calling your attention to it. There are a couple other things. I do want to call your attention to the announcement under the calendar for this week of Church Women United of Malden, Medford, and Melrose that is restarting. And they're having a May Friendship Day luncheon. Finding Grace at the Table is the theme. That's this coming Wednesday at 12 noon at the First Baptist Church of Melrose. And there's a flyer here. And if you are interested, if you want more information, please speak with Marilyn Glover after the service. Also, another event that's taking place this week in the community is the Somerville Community Baptist Church. They're celebrating their 9th annual Community Gospel Choir Concert next Saturday, the 14th, at 5 in the evening at Grace Chapel in Lexington. And it's free admission, and you're invited to attend that if you would like to. That's next Saturday. We have several inserts in the bulletin today. Spring tends to be a mission type of time of focusing, and the pink insert is our honor roll of gifts of blankets being given in honor and memory of loved ones for Mother's Day. There are additional blankets that have been donated that didn't make the cut this week, so next week we'll have an additional list of other blankets that have been donated, but we want to remember those folks. The yellow insert is our Layperson of the Year nomination. Today is the deadline. If you would like to nominate someone in our church family to be recognized this year as Layperson of the Year, please fill this form out and either give it to me or the moderator is here, so either Lisa Jacobson, the moderator, or myself after the service. Church Council is meeting tomorrow night and we'll be selecting, based on your nominations, anyone that they may be nominating this year's honoree. Also, we are beginning our promotion for the One Great Hour Sharing offering, and that is the blue insert. And so there is some information there if you're interested just to how our dollars to this one of our four annual offerings are used. In addition, I mentioned that it is a time of mission opportunities. And on Saturday, May 21st, Marilyn Glover is walking around Lake Quanapowhat with others to raise funds for the Refugee Immigration Ministry. And if you would care to support her 3-mile walk, there is a pledge form to sign up on the desk in Judson Chapel, the desk closest to the coffee table. There are other forms available if anyone else would like to walk. There is a $25 registration fee, which may be collected in pledges for any youth who would like to walk. But it's open for youth and adults. If you'd like to participate and raise funds for the Refugee Immigration Ministry, that's taking place on Saturday the 21st. And again, check with Marilyn if you have any questions about that. I've lost my notes, but that's okay. I know the last announcement I had was I want to call your attention to, we are using the red hymnal today, so I just want to call your attention to that. On this Ascension Sunday, we celebrate Christ's return to heaven in glory. With his disciples, we behold with awe-struck wonder his triumphant ascension, hailing him as a prophet, a priest, and king. Let us join in offering praise through our opening hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 199 in the red hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Our color heavenly.
Let us pray. Exalted Lord, you reign in the high and holy place. But for your royal throne, you choose people of humble hearts. We need not gaze into heaven to follow you, for you promise to abide with all who live in your name. Grant us grace to recognize your presence in the brothers and sisters with whom we live and worship. At the last, permit us to know you face to face in glory. We ask this all in your most powerful and precious name. And now pray as you taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. It's a very special day today as we are receiving two new people into our church membership, and I invite those who are joining the church today to please come forward at this time. As I was preparing for this today, I was thinking about let me introduce them first, as if you don't know who they are. Dorothy Hyacinth Berry. Hyacinth must have been a family name or something, because I know that was Lucille's middle name as well. Oh, it was Herma. Okay. That's right. Okay. Anyway, so Dorothy is a native of Jamaica, West Indies. She was very active in her home church, and she listed some of the things. I won't list them all now because it might give people ideas as, oh, she did that? Well, she could do that here too. But very active in her church. And I know as a child, you said that your mother had you up very early in the morning reading scripture and going to church. And Dorothy, when she was in Jamaica back and forth, she would often call folks on their birthdays. And she was usually at church calling us, wishing us happy birthday, because she was at church all the time. She moved here in 1997, but divided her time, as I mentioned, between the U.S. and Jamaica for many years with her sister. 1967, I misread that, I'm sorry. 1967. But she spent time between the U.S. and Jamaica for many years, especially with your sister Lucille. Last year, Dorothy decided to make this her permanent home, and we are so pleased to have her with us, and she enjoys reading and travel. And it was my honor to baptize Dorothy and her sisters Lucille and Lana in 2006, I believe it was. And Dorothy is joining our church based on that baptism and her Christian experience. David Hart was born in Cambridge, grew up in Melrose, attended local Catholic schools, was brought up Roman Catholic, baptized as a Catholic, like many folks here. Dave has degrees from Suffolk University in organizational communications. He and Liz are celebrating their 20th anniversary this year. I know that Dave, he didn't mention this in what he wrote for me, but I know you've served on numerous community organizations in the area. And oftentimes I'll read in the paper, David Hart. So he's been serving on many different community organizations. He has two stepsons and a granddaughter, Rihanna, who many of us have met. And his current hobby is attending tea parties with Rihanna, his granddaughter. David is joining our church based on his Christian experience. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome some very important words. He wrote these words, "Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up." Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. This passage can be summarized into brief instructions and responsibilities for church members that have been called the five sweet peas of church membership. It's nothing I created, but something that the pastor, when I was growing up in my church, used when he was bringing new members in, and I've adapted it to do that today. So as I describe these sweet peas to those who are joining the church today, I'm also reminding all of us of our duties, our responsibilities, and our privileges as being members of the body of Christ. The first responsibility we have of being a member of Christ's body is to spend time in prayer. This is not just talking to God, but also waiting on God to speak to us, being part open to God's leading in our lives. Secondly, if the ministry and the mission of our congregation is to be effective, then we need to have our members present at worship, study, business, social, and service events. It's difficult to grow in one's spiritual life if a person is not actively involved in their church. And that leads into being not only present, but also participating. We are all part of the body of Christ, each with its own special gifts. All of our gifts need to be shared in order to be the body of Christ as a whole entity. The fourth sweet pea is a sort of combination of several. The church, while being the body of Christ, is made up of human beings, and we sometimes make mistakes, and we don't always agree, but we need to settle our differences in love and have compassion for each other. We need to look for positive ways to peacefully settle our differences, and as we try to do this, we need to be patient. Being a member of a church also means that we assume a financial responsibility in supporting the ministry and mission of the congregation. That means we're a paying member. In the Old Testament, the people of God were instructed to give a tithe, a 10%, of their offering to the Lord. The amount that you give is between you and God. So the five sweet peas of church membership are practical ways of putting faith to work within the body of Christ as we are praying, present, participating, peaceful, positive, and patient, as well as paying. Dorothy and Dave, if you've heard these responsibilities, having heard these duties, responsibilities of church members, do you now promise to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, to serve him gladly in this congregation? If so, please say, I do. To the members of this church, we welcome in the name of Jesus Christ these who have come to join in the life and ministry of this congregation. As you receive them, do you promise to give them your love and encouragement as they grow in their Christian life and commitment? If so, please respond, we do. Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, for these who have come to join our family of faith. May Dorothy and Dave find among us a deep love and concern for them and their well-being. Enable them to find their place of service among us. Grant that they may grow up in every way into him who is the head of the church, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dorothy, on behalf of the congregation, I extend its right hand of fellowship to you and welcome you into official church membership. Dorothy's been coming here so long, it seems like she's part of the church. She's been part of the church family for a long time, but now you're an official member, and now we can have you serve on boards and committees. But not only that, but she also can, both of them will have a voice. Come to an annual meeting, and you can listen, you can talk, but you can't vote. Now you'll have not only a voice, but also a vote. So here's a certificate for you, and a rose, just as a memento, and a little bag of goodies to read in your spare time. You said you like to read, so there are a few things that David, I extend to you our right hand of fellowship and welcome you into official church membership of the First Baptist Church of Malden. Welcome. And Dave's been around for a long time, too, coming to annual meetings, enjoying lunch, and just, you know, sitting there quietly. Now you can say something and you can have impact on it. And some reading material for you as well. Welcome to our church family. Are there any children here for our children's message? Okay, if not, I do just want to point out the Church World Service blankets that are displayed here. Those are examples of the blankets that have been given today in honor and in memory of loved ones for Mother's Day. If you happen to look at the poster on the back wall above the light switch, you'll see a picture of some of those blankets being used. And I'm going to talk about that more next week. But they are in use, so I just want to mention that. So if there are no children here, and there's no Sunday school class today, so we'll segue into our moments of prayer at this time. We have a celebration today. I'm trying to find her. Where's Peggy? Okay. Oh, keep moving around. Peggy Blum is back with us after having been out several weeks, having fallen and breaking a vertebrae in her back. But I'm glad you're able to be here today, Peggy. It's good to have you here. We continue to pray for you as you continue to recover and heal. But we do celebrate that you're able to be here today. We want to keep Jim Hickey in prayer. Jim's been to the doctor and hasn't been scheduled yet, but he will be having surgery in the next couple months probably. So we want to keep Jim in prayer today. Phyllis Knight was not able to be here today, but did want to be remembered to the church family. So we want to remember Phyllis, and we want to remember others in our church family who are shut-ins or homebound, just not able to get out as often as they wish. So we want to keep them in prayer as well. Also, we want to continue remembering Mae Upperman in prayer as she continues to have some health issues. Just keep Mae in prayer. We want to keep the folks in Canada, Alberta, who are being affected by the wildfires, that have lost homes and businesses. We want to keep them in prayer today. We obviously want to remember it's Mother's Day and remember those women who have influenced us in any way. Also, we want to pray for our new members today as well. Do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family as we go to prayer? Peggy. Claire and Dennis and Mason? Mason, your newest great-grandson. So we're going to lift them up in prayer. Celebration for the birth of your great-grandson. We celebrated that last week. And prayer for your other relatives that have health issues. Anyone else have prayer requests today? Naomi. You got into the shop you wanted. Wonderful. So Naomi's really enjoyed school at the Vogue and got into the shop that you wanted, and you're doing metal fabrication right now, and your goal is to become a welder. So we celebrate that with you and lift that up and just pray for you as you start that next in the fall. You already started it. Great. So we celebrate that with you, Naomi. Any other requests for prayer? Okay. You and your mom are Christians. But your dad is not, and you're praying for that for many years, and we join in that prayer today. So we want to keep your dad in prayer, and others who have not made that commitment, that acceptance of Christ in their hearts. We want to lift them up today. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up someone or something that's been mentioned here today or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord of love, we thank you for the privilege we have of coming to this church to worship you, the privilege we have of spending these moments in conversation with you. On this Mother's Day, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the women who have nurtured us through the years. We thank you for the women who struggle to give us birth. Thank you for all the women who nursed us and cuddled us, who kissed our hurts and helped us find our wings. Thank you for the women who loved us even when we were unlovable. and did bad things, and so showed us the meaning of faithfulness. Thank you for the women who expected great things of us, and so helped us discover our strength. Thank you for the women who showed us how to pray and trust in Jesus. Thank you for the teachers whose motherly attention helped us grow into productive, capable adults. Today we honor those women whose love has made us strong. Help us be gentle toward those who have done the best they knew how, even if sometimes we wish they had done it differently. Help all the women among us to become bearers of your redeeming love to all the young lives they touch, to all those who are their children either by affection or by birth. Lord, help us to raise the little girls among us into strong women of God, that in them the world may see the fierce and tender love with which you, O God, have loved us since the very beginning of time. We ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the five sweet peas of church membership is to be a paying member. That doesn't mean you have to be a church member in order to offer gratitude to God through our tithes and gifts. For this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share your love with others, that others may come to know Jesus Christ and his sacrificial love. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Michael Huddy is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture.
This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning chapter 12, beginning verse 34. It is found on page 12 in the Pew Bible. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned.
Thank you, Michael. Let's pray together. Lord, these words of Jesus that we have just read and heard are very strong, almost frightening at times, Lord. Lord, we come this day with open hearts and open minds, seeking a message from you that will help us in our daily living. And we just pray for strength and encouragement through your Spirit. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you remember about your mother, whether she is still living or whether she has passed away? Is perhaps something that she did or does or said and or says that comes quickest to mind? Throughout the, I hate to say old movie because it was in my generation, but the old movie Forrest Gump, which is one of my favorites, the lead character remembers certain things his mother always said, such as, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. There's an awful lot you can tell about a person from their shoes, where they're going, and where they've been. Don't let anybody tell you they're better than you. Miracles happen every day. You've got to put the past behind you before you can move on. As I was preparing this sermon, I asked myself, what is important about mothers beyond the obvious fact of giving birth? Perhaps your mother was different from mine, but I believe one of the most important roles a mother, no, let me change that, to parents, to fathers and parents and grandparents and guardians, one of their most important roles is the teaching of words and language and their appropriate usage. Because the words we use often determine the success and failure of our interactions. According to research psychologists, the average one-year-old child has a three-word vocabulary. By 18 months, children can speak 19 words. At 2 years of age, most toddlers possess a working knowledge of 272 words. Their vocabulary catapults to 896 words by the age of three. 1,540 words by the age of four. And 2,071 words by the age of five. By age six, the average child can communicate with 2,562 words. Our word accumulation continues to grow, yet effective use of those words does not necessarily ensue. Even though the average adult speaks at a rate of about 125 to 200 words per minute and up to 18,000 words per day, no wonder we're tired if we do a lot of talking. This does not mean that messages are always clearly relayed. The words are spoken, but the message may not be clear. Sigmund Freud once said, "Words have a magical power. They can bring either the greatest happiness or the deepest despair." Words have power all their own, literally a power to hurt and a power to heal, a power to crush and a power to lift, a power to confuse and a power to inspire. Words give us access to virtually every dimension of life, and words enable us to break out of isolation or anonymity. They can establish our rapport with each other, or they can drive us apart. Words can build, create, and strengthen, or they can wound, pierce, and crucify. Words are all these things. The first place we learn words and how to use them is usually in our home. This morning I'm focusing on a narrow range of vocabulary, specifically certain words which can hurt and some better ones that can heal. Behind these considerations is this morning's scripture text when Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, Jesus says, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Strong words from Jesus. But what are some of the words that hurt? First, we may think of derogatory name-calling, or slanderous remarks, or even gossip and backbiting. Certainly, words which assume these characteristics do hurt, often deeply and irreparably. The past 8 months of the prolonged presidential electoral process to select our nation's next leader have been filled with these types of words. Derogatory names and barbs have flown back and forth between the candidates, as well as being used to describe opponents and their spouses and families in various speeches. Last year, the Boston Globe reviewed the language used by 19 candidates in speeches announcing their campaigns for the 2016 presidential election. In the published findings, the paper stated that those candidates who were speaking at a level easily understood by people at the lower end of the education spectrum were outperforming their highfalutin opponents in the polls. One leading candidate's speech was evaluated to be at a fourth grade level. Others were evaluated to be at sixth, eighth, and tenth grade levels. Political speech specialists say that simpler language resonates with a broader swath of voters in an era of 140-character Twitter tweets and 10-second television sound bites. But using fewer characters and syllables per word and shorter sentences does not require the speaker to use derogatory or inflammatory language. There is a different category of hurtful words, probably not immediately thought of, but we should also be concerned about them. In fact, Jesus was very sensitive to these words. Words such as hunger, fear, hatred, injustice, oppression, and the whole range of humanly destructive experiences and attitudes which rob men, women, youth, and children of their dignity. Unfortunately, many behaviors represented by these words are still permitted and tolerated today. It does not seem like much has changed since Jesus walked here on earth. At the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus stood to preach and boldly stated his mission when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In effect, Jesus was negating and discrediting the words that hurt, not only with his speech, but also with his entire life. Jesus advocated words and deeds that heal. He spoke of forgiveness, and he granted it. When Jesus described the peace that passes understanding, he shared it. From Jesus' lips came words which heal, words which bind up the brokenhearted, words which give meaning and purpose and perseverance to life again. So why do we still have pain, injustice, and hurtful words? It takes more than just repeating the great words of love, peace, forgiveness, and mercy, words with healing potential. We all have to put our lives behind them. Every word which heals carries independent power, but that power is realized in fullness only when the lips that speak represent lives that care. This is to say that when word and deed become one, as they did supremely in Jesus Christ, there is a force for good released in the world which has unlimited potential. The Gospel of John describes Jesus as the living Word, the Word of God expressed in this world. And it is an appropriate designation. The incredible implication of Jesus' teachings is that those who are blessed by him, in turn, are to be his spokespersons, his word in the world today. We must always be conscious of our words, their inflection, and our behavior. In a country church of a small village, an altar boy serving the priest at Sunday Mass accidentally dropped the cruet of wine. The village priest struck the altar boy sharply on the cheek and in a gruff voice shouted, "Leave the altar and don't come back." That boy became Tito, the communist leader. In the cathedral of a large city, an altar boy serving the bishop at Sunday Mass accidentally dropped the cruet of wine. With a warm twinkle in his eyes, the bishop gently whispered, "Someday you will be a priest." That boy grew up to become Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Words. They are powerful. We need to choose them carefully. We need to not only organize our thoughts before we speak, but also determine which words best communicate the message we want to convey. Perhaps the most important words any of us ever speak are when we freely and gladly say to Jesus, "I will follow you." That declaration of intention opens us to everything that is, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. When we say to Jesus, "I will follow you," we agree to speak the truth in love, to bear faithful witness to his name, and to fill our speech not with words that hurt, but with words that heal. In our broken world, on this Mother's Day, let us remember the healing words, words of trust, words spoken in love, words that our mothers taught. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray together. Lord, we have the magnificent gift of speech, and we recognize how powerful words can be. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget about their power and abuse the words, abuse the language, when our words don't match our deeds, when we say things purposely that hurt others. Lord, help us to reach out to those whom we have hurt and ask for forgiveness, ask for reconciliation, ask for healing. Lord, help words of healing come from our mouths and from our lips. And may our actions match those words. But when we follow Jesus, we show his love to others, that they too may come to know him as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the words that we've learned at our mother's knee, those that we learned through education. And Lord, we pray now that we may use all the words we know wisely. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, "Lord, Speak to Me That I May Speak," number 397 in the red hymnal. As Jesus ascended and disappeared into a cloud, the disciples were asked a question. Why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go. In the meantime, while we wait for his return, there is work to be done. We need to go and share the love of Christ through word and deed, to bind the wounds of the brokenhearted, to be peacemakers, to tell what we have seen, heard, and experienced, that Jesus Christ offers forgiveness and salvation to all. Let us go now to love and serve our Lord and neighbors. Amen.